This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us.
My name is Austin Vincent Kirby, as I like to add in there.
ABK.
Right. I am a front desk associate at the Candy Factory, and also I am the firstborn child of Ann Kirby.
So. I have a feeling that your title is actually community facilitator or something like that.
That's the official.
The associate one feels a little department store.
That does feel a little more department store. I would probably say you're correct on that aspect, yeah.
Speaking of that birth, is that important to today?
Somebody in the room has a birthday, and it's not me or you, Diggs.
Yeah, I wonder
who could it be? I'm thinking it's ABK.
Well, surprise, surprise, it's me.
Happy birthday to you.
You
only turn 25 once.
That is true.
A day over 25.
Oh, you know, surcharge rentals. Enjoy that.
Yeah.
I swear that is the greatest thing about turning 25. No surcharges on rental cars.
That's right. I forgot about that. Your insurance goes down too.
And your insurance will go
down. My insurance does go down. Yeah. I did actually get a notification from my insurance saying that I luckily don't have to pay as much anymore.
Congratulations.
So I'm actually, and it's actually by a lot. And I was like,
it's significant.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Yep.
20. I mean, guess I'm a real adult now.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, no excuses.
21's meh, 25.
But 25. Yeah, no surcharge on car rentals.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's crazy.
Oh, it's crazy.
So now you
realize how...
you're going to save so much money. Seriously.
But do you realize how lame it gets after 21? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we are pumped. We are so excited right now.
Right.
You?
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to the program. Welcome to 5x5.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, as always, our trusty iPad is going to spin up five topics. We're going to talk about those five topics for 5 minutes each, and let's just get rolling. The first topic for this episode's 5x5 is The Daily Show.
Wow.
Ooh.
I actually really do like The Daily Show a lot. I grew up not really understanding politics. So I didn't really get the idea of, you know, where some of the comical jokes were coming from,
right,
especially
sure,
when they're
sure.
related to politics. I really liked Stewart a lot.
Yeah.
He was really funny. I actually liked just the way he talked in general. I actually used to YouTube a lot of his off-show interviews, and I just used to find the way his ideas of how things, you know, I actually think he was pretty progressive for...
Yeah,
for someone who, in his position, for being as comical as they were, I thought a lot of his ideas for how politics and certain things should be done were actually what a lot of people like today.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of think he's a role model in a way.
Yeah, no doubt. So you like just the sound of his voice, the cadence, the way he talks.
I love the sound, and I think he had absolutely perfect comical timing. I think his timing he was an absolute genius. When he would start a conversation, even about a simple topic, he would always go off script. And a lot of people actually thought he was following cards on the show,
uh-huh.
like in the crowds. Everything was inspired. He thought of everything as he went. And I remember doing that because my friend did a bio on him in high school.
Oh, was that
and right? he it was just some really cool stuff in the background that he does. And he writes it all down in his desk. And then he goes on the show for it.
Thoughts on Trevor Noah?
I quit watching it. I mean, and it's not because of him. Like, I think I was just sort of, it was ending for me.
Okay.
Like the habit around it.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like I was in a rhythm when Jon Stewart was really, you know, active.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess early teens was when I was really watching it a lot. And when it changed, it was just sort of like, I don't know. It's like... If you've ever had like a personal trainer or something, then they change.
Mm.
Even though you don't have anything against the new, it's just hard. Change is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And when Trevor Noah came on, I just didn't click with him
right
out of the gate. So then I just lost interest and moved on to other things.
I think he took him a while to find his rhythm, and then because like I actually really love his is it behind the scenes or between the scenes, whatever that Facebook based show is, which is also on YouTube, where it's the off the camera, like, it's not off camera, but it's off the air on camera talking to the crowd or just him riffing about something in the news. I think that's him shifting to that style really, because honestly, out of the gate, they really tried to copy Stewart's style a little too much, and he really needed to define his own.
Yeah, like, you know, you say that. That maybe that's what didn't click with me, was it was just like, this isn't...
Right, this isn't Jon Stewart, and he's trying to be like Jon Stewart, and isn't Jon Stewart. He's got his own brand of quick wit, political knowledge, and he's like, this is gonna sound like an ugly American comment, but he's one foreigner I don't mind riffing on our politics, because he doesn't make it a comparison. He just says, like, when I grew up in South Africa, I was used to blah,
right,
and you guys do this, and it's not like Piers Morgan, who always found a way to, like, make us sound stupid by comparing us to the way things worked in the UK. And not that Piers Morgan was comedy, but it's just...
No, like, I get what you're saying.
But yeah, I think he's done a good job revamping.
I think also, when near the end of The Daily Show for Stewart came, Oliver, with his HBO attachment, really blew up. And I think that kind of covered the shadow of the transition.
That's a great point.
That is a really good point.
Because he was great. But no one really watches Oliver now, obviously. I mean, because no one really talks about it much anymore. But right near the end of Stewart's reign, as being the main Daily Show thing, everyone immediately went to Oliver, because Oliver made appearances here and there on The Daily Show. And in my points, was sometimes even more funny than Stewart for some of the segments.
Well, plus Colbert had spun off, right?
That's right.
Yep. And Colbert was huge.
Blew up, yeah.
But so both of the, I would argue that both of those shows really threw a shadow on The Daily Show part deux.
I would agree. I would agree. I know I suggested this topic, and I can't see how much time we have left, but the reason I brought it up was that I actually met Jon Stewart.
Did you?
Really?
He's actually a friend from high school's uncle.
Okay.
And
so you really met him?
I really met him. Went to a baseball game with him, NLCS game 2, Mets and Cardinals in 2006.
Cool guy?
Really cool guy. But when my friend sort of gathered, like, this is freshman year of high school, he like gathers folks together and he's like, okay, I think some of you are figuring this out, but like, I'm Jon Stewart's nephew. Just wanted to make sure that you knew that. Like, just, let's just get it out. And I was like, who? this 2005. I truly had no idea who he was, but ended up meeting him.
Topic number two on this episode's 5x5 is Saturday Night Live.
Oh.
Wow. SNL is awesome. I love SNL. SNL, like, it's crazy that it's all these, like, night shows. I actually, after I was done watching Dexter's Laboratory, great shows, and after, obviously, it would be like Powerpuff Girls and all that other stuff and I would actually, there were pre-recordings on channel 64 on my cable, and Saturday Night Live old re-showings were on, and my favorite one was obviously the cowbell,
right?
And I think ever since that day when, you know, when Christopher Walken just comes through the door. And I think what actually made it more funny was just the faces.
Yeah.
Because then he's like, hey, I need some more cowbell. You know, like when he does that. You know, like when he does that. And then Will Ferrell just says, like, his lip wiggles and he goes, oh, yeah. You got it. And I was just like, it's so good. And then all the actual band members are like, this is ridiculous.
Yep.
He's like, you know, and then when Christopher just gets so in it, you're just like, and actually, it's funny that Saturday Night Live, because I actually, a week ago, read a small segment that Christopher Walken was so sick and tired of people asking him to say cowbell that he gets super offended whenever it's brought up in conversations now.
Oh, boy.
Just because it kind of adapted, like, when you think, he was actually in part of a lot of SNL skits.
Yeah,
but the only one that anyone really remembers is
cowbell.
Is cowbell, and I mean,
well, that's good to know, especially when Dix hangs out with his nephew.
Right?
No. No connection to Christopher Walken. You know what's annoying to me, that the next thing I remember, so it's like, I remember the cowbell.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Will Ferrell's stomach jiggling, but then Jimmy Fallon.
Fallon.
Cracking Jimmy Fallon. Up in the back of that, like, he drove me nuts. Like, I wasn't a big SNL watcher,
right?
But he was a big reason why I didn't watch it, because I couldn't stand, like, you're supposed to be a professional. Like, how do you lose your character? Like, you know, everybody loses character every now and then, but with him, it was like every 5 minutes.
It's like his thing.
Yeah. Ugh, I couldn't take it. It works on, what's he on now? Tonight Show?
I thought he was on The Late Show.
Or Late Show, whichever show.
Yeah. Oh, he's on The Tonight Show.
That, okay.
Fallon. Yeah. I just said Fallon.
The Fallon Show.
Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, yeah.
That way he is works.
Yeah.
I actually really don't like Jimmy Fallon at all.
Even on this show?
I think his skits here and there where he does with celebrities, mm-hmm. like his little shows, because that's only that he really gets views on YouTube for.
Yeah, that's right.
I just think he's a very sore loser. And a lot of people in my generation call him out, actually, in YouTube videos about that, because every time he does games and stuff like that, he looks genuinely mad at times that he's losing in a game that he invented. and at the same time, I just get the feeling that his laughs, his that kind of laugh, mm-hmm. is fake. It's so fake so many times. I just don't feel like he's as comedic in some points.
Oh, I see. That's fair.
Because I just feel like it's just all staged.
Curiously, when's the last time you watched Saturday Night Live on Saturday night?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, geez. Never. I don't think I never have.
You've never watched
it? I don't think I have. I've always watched recaps.
I did. I was delayed. It was a flight delay. and it was like the one thing that was on TV that everyone could agree on, because everyone was just pissed off.
Sure, yeah.
And so it was like we're all at the gate waiting for the plane to arrive. I think I was in Chicago, maybe. And, you know, we got the Fox News people and the CNN people. And then someone's like, wait a minute. It's 11:30.
10:30, actually, in Chicago.
Oh yeah, fair point. Yeah, yeah. It was a rerun.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Because it was, for some reason, it was the East Coast, like, broadcasting time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because actually, I remember someone was like, "Wait a minute, no, we would have missed it." I was like, "Well, no, it's on. It's like it's just started." but thankfully, we weren't there to watch the whole thing.
it's interesting how shows like that over time have become, like you mentioned, YouTube, and that's what made me think of it is, especially the late night shows. Same question, I guess. Do you ever watch the late night shows at night?
No.
They've almost become just like YouTube segments.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, we would watch Letterman, and
on YouTube. Sorry, that was too easy.
So you know, we would watch Letterman and it would start at 12:30, and there were segments to the show. You know, you kind of the second half was always a little lamer than the first half or whatever. Same with Saturday Night Live. Like, those skits would get moved to the back of the the hour or whatever, the back of the 90 minutes, whatever the show was. And so, but you watched it as a show. It was the only way to see it.
Mm.
And I think it's just really interesting how those segments have been broken apart. Mm-hmm. And it just become like these YouTube videos.
That's all that people really watch. I mean, that's all I watch.
It's amazing.
I watch it. And it's really sad that it's kind of turned that way. But I mean, let's be honest.
But people must still be watching, because it's... and maybe, is it like third shift folks? Like, I wonder who is...
who watches? Be a good poll. Who watches Saturday Night Live online on
SNL, what's going on? Yep.
Comment on the show post if you...
if you watch it on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Topic number three, Spotify.
Oh, I'm pro.
You pro Spotify.
You're pro?
That's the new thing. We're just going to keep running with
that. How do you feel about Spotify?
Spotify in the beginning was easy to manipulate without getting pro.
And is then that right?
It was super easy.
Kids
that's,
these days.
That's true.
You used to be able to make three playlists of the... either if you really consistently want to listen to the same song over and over again, you could. And it would play the same song over and over again.
Hmm.
First, if you did that, now if you put the same song in the playlist over and over again, it randomly picks music in the same genre or the same artist and mixes it up.
Yep.
So you can't do that anymore unless you have Prime. And then the other thing you used to be able to do is you could just copy and paste the exact same playlist, even there were different songs, and not get ads for like the first four songs that you would listen to. No, it's every time you skip one.
Yep.
Pretty much.
And also with Premium or Prime, whatever it's called, it'll, if you try to add the same song, which I actually like this, it gives you an alert. So it's like, hey, this song's already in this playlist. Do you really want to do it again? And usually I don't. Now I don't. There was a time in like college where I would want to
listen to the same song over and
yeah,
over.
Just, yeah, but not immediately, but you know, yeah, every
exactly,
you know, 40-ish minutes or so. And I also will say, so going pre my jumping into Spotify kind of whole, like the whole cloth, whatever the term is, my favorite was Songza.
Okay.
Do you remember Songza? Yeah.
I do, actually. I know that.
Pandora drove me nuts. I couldn't do Pandora because it was like, actually, I will give Pandora one bit of love. They found a way to inject Mike Snow. Do you remember Mike Snow?
M-I-I-K-E.
Into every...
Animals.
Yeah. That song, yeah. Animals. Into every...
Uh-huh.
Like, you could pick Frank Sinatra.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike somehow, some way, animals would get, like, fed in. It's like, how... But I ended up liking that song, and I ended up liking him as a band, and or them as a band. But my go-to was Songza for the longest time.
Someone must be related to the founder.
Someone knew someone.
Right. I mean, it was interesting how it you know, Spotify is sort of the, you know, the Band-Aid or the Kleenex. Mm. It's sort of the brand of streaming music.
Yeah.
It's really become that, like Netflix, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, took it from Pandora, because really it was Pandora first.
Yeah, you're right.
And then...
But the whole idea of like being able to just access a library versus random songs or whatever, right. You know, it really did. It changed things. I mean, and I don't know where it goes from here. You know, there's the whole controversy about artists actually getting paid or not getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
I guess is the right way of saying it, or getting paid very little for the work, and you just see this decline over the years of artists being able to generate a substantial amount of revenue for their work.
Yeah, that's fair.
But that hasn't, you know, it's sort of like when that stuff is shrouded in convenience, you know, it's hard to really,
yeah, like
not do it. I don't right. know, not listen to it. I mean, I've been a Spotify customer for 10 years or
so
whatever.
So you have Spotify.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I've always had it.
I mean, Spotify.
But I still, I buy MP3s. And I think.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Interesting.
Yes.
Why?
Because I'm a little OCD about my libraries.
Quality?
And my collections.
Fair enough.
Hmm. Yeah, like it's a weird thing that we certainly don't have time to go into, and nor would I really feel like pulling that curtain back right now. But yeah, what I do is I use Spotify for learning about new music, and
that's what I use it for too.
And I use it to when somebody mentions something or I want to look up something,
mm-hmm.
and then if I really like the record, I will buy the record, and I try to buy it as directly from the band as I can.
Okay.
That's good, because then you're trying to support.
That's what I'm trying to do ultimately with it.
I mean, Spotify, in my opinion, in my generation, for things that I occasionally do, like I play a lot of video games and, you know, stuff like that. And most consoles, actually, I think every console and every access to gaming now allows you to stream Spotify while you play.
Oh, is that right?
So while I'm playing,
that's smart.
With the same game noise in my headset, I can have my songs going on in the background.
Wow.
Which honestly, I have to give Spotify full credit, is genius. And it's definitely, Spotify is definitely, I think the pros to it is I've discovered so many songs. Because back in the day, for me to discover artists, I used to scroll through suggestions on YouTube. And be like, oh, well, I've never heard this person before. I wonder if this it's got 1,000 views, could be good.
Yes.
And that's either really bad or really good. And then you're like, wow. And then it blows up like next week and it's like 40 million views. So Spotify, to me, I think the only way it's going to keep getting better is I think sooner or later music is going to be, I think it's all down to the generation now and the next one to see where music really goes.
You know, I forgot about that. I actually used to love, my favorite thing, my favorite way to discover new music was... a French,
bonjour,
de merci, I guess.
je m'appelle.
It was a French blog or music blog or something, a video blog, and they would do like one take live versions of band songs through the streets of Paris.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what?
Mm.
Topic number four
is
Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh,
wow, Dunkin' Donuts. Wow,
are we hitting crazy. The sweet spot?
I have actually a great attachment to Dunkin' Donuts, only on the aspect that my second dog's name, Duncan, was picked because when we picked him up from the farm, we drove by a Dunkin' Donuts. And
you spelled it Duncan.
Duncan. Well, so it's with the C instead of the K, but we took the aspect Duncan, the name Duncan.
Did you go to Duncan that day?
No, he was too busy whining in a box.
Yeah.
So, but
good thing he didn't drive by like a Pep Boy.
No, right? It'd be Pep Boy. Where are you, Pep Boy?
Yeah. It will be a good dog.
Do you guys... Kmart. Hey, Kmart, come here.
But let's play. One of the questions for you guys is when it comes to Dunkin' Donuts, right? Dunkin' Donuts blew up with the whole advertisements because you used to see Dunkin' Donuts commercials, you know, with America running, keep America running, all that kind of stuff. I've really never gone through a drive-through for Dunkin' Donuts except for while I was either driven by a friend's mom or someone else's. Never said to myself, you know what, I'm really craving a Dunkin'. Dunkin' Donuts.
I've done it because there's the one on 222 heading north. Not in Lancaster.
Oh, okay.
It's 222.
Like up on the other side of Reading.
Yeah. Other side of Reading.
Yeah, I know where you're talking.
Yeah, that one. Like it's in the middle of the lights. If people are familiar with driving in this area, so when I would go back to New York, I go that way.
Yeah.
And it was I think I only did the drive through once. And they messed up my order, and I didn't know it till I was like 3 miles away. So I don't do the drive through anymore.
Right.
But not opposed to it. I don't go out of my way.
Right.
But actually, for that Dunkin' Donuts, that's on 222 that you mentioned on Columbia. I missed the Boston Market. I prefer the Boston Market.
I think the Boston there. Market was there.
Yeah.
Boston Market was good.
Yeah.
Two times I really, not just two times that I go through a Dunkin' drive-through, but there were two periods of my life where I experienced Dunkin' Donuts. It's strange. This is very strange. In Cherry Hill, New Jersey, I was past there, so Mount Laurel maybe, I can't remember the name of the town, but right through Cherry Hill from Philly, I had a client over there, maybe about 15 years ago, and me and the guy I worked with would go to this client, you know, every 2 weeks for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months.
Mm.
And there was just this convenient Dunkin' Donuts. You know what I mean? It was just like...
Pristine spot.
We would get there. It would be early. And it would be like, let's hit that Dunkin' Donuts. And we would just go through it. And it was okay. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't, you know what I mean? I wasn't like crazy. Like, it was just like, okay, there's a Dunkin' Donuts. We don't have to get out of the car. Let's do it.
Did you eat the donuts or did you eat a
sandwich?
No,
it was just coffee.
So,
just coffee.
The famous Dunkin' Donuts, what they're known for,
No, because the other time that I experienced a lot of Dunkin' was my daughter Jaina, who was really into Starbucks, like all kids. She's 16 now. So, you know, over the past 10 years, like these kids, just like they're, you know, addicted to this stuff, right?
I did not know that. I know now.
So, I mean, Starbucks is huge, right? But what she did was she figured out. She works at Starbucks now, so it's not an issue because she gets free drinks. But at the time, she didn't have a lot of money. And, I was getting a little tiring paying for all this Starbucks. So she figured out how to make her favorite Starbucks drinks at Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, wow.
Like,
wow.
For example, you'd have, and I don't know what they were, but she would have some drink that was caramel or vanilla or something from Starbucks, and maybe it was like $4.
Mm-hmm.
And you could get the same one by asking for like an iced coffee with a shot of this and a shot of that. Like she would have the specifics.
That's so smart.
And it would be basically the same drink for like a buck and a half.
You think that still works today?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Dunkin' still has the same.
This is the same sort of, like they have the same syrups and the same this or that. Mm-hmm. So you just have to be smart and kind of know, you know, how to put those ingredients together to make basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm. That is so smart.
But like I said, she works at Starbucks.
The donuts from Dunkin' were actually held a special place in my heart because it was the thing I would get usually when my dad would pick me up from preschool.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, because it was from Brooklyn, and my preschool is called Little Sun People, and it's on Nostrand Avenue, which people in Brooklyn will know. And literally the Dunkin' was like on the way to the subway stop.
Got it.
Wow.
And so, but I vaguely remember that they did a late afternoon batch of donuts because they always seemed really fresh.
Hmm.
But maybe it was just because I was a kid, like a little kid, and I'm misremembering that. And then I remember, I think it was Mom introduced me to Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme is so good.
Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
Krispy Kreme is great.
And there was a Krispy Kreme somewhere in Manhattan that, like, it might still be there where you could. I mean, every Krispy Kreme is like this, but to me, it was like magical to see them make the donuts. So just like, but I can eat that?
It is magical, Dave.
Yummy, yummy, yummy.
It is magical. Yeah, don't ever let that go. Don't ever lose that spark, friend.
I won't.
Our final topic for today's 5x5 is Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, that's so great.
Five good ones.
I am a movie fanatic.
Oh.
I have, not anymore, but a lot of people who lived with me knows that I used to, especially when I lived in the West Coast, I used to go to the same pawn shop like every day when I got paid and buy like 20 different movies. And my collection today still ranges around like probably almost 2,000 DVDs.
Wow.
That are just books of rappers. And I have every Quentin Tarantino movie that he's, and I'm a huge Pulp Fiction fan.
Okay.
Love Pulp Fiction. And I mean, I just love every film that he's kind of really necessarily directed just because I like the ideas. Obviously, I think his older stuff are better than the things he's done recently and some of the newer things.
Okay.
Him himself, I think he's a very interesting individual. Not necessarily, in my opinion, an amazing individual. Mm. But I think his twist on how he likes to take things still to the future day that we are now, oldie, classic-y looking films, and make a story from something like that, I think that's pretty cool.
Things, where are you at?
QT. QT. You know what that means in like QT. So I like some of his stuff. Some of it's a little much for me.
Mm-hmm.
Inglourious Basterds is probably my favorite. Right. I like Pulp Fiction, but it was a little too much. Like right. The whole drug thing was just a little much for me. Did he do Kill Bill? Was he Kill
he
Bill?
Did yeah, do Kill Bill was good.
Kill Bill 1 was great. The other two,
right.
I mean, I understand it was a good storyline, but it was just like, man, I don't really need to watch all this. I'm not opposed to him existing as a director, but if he only made Inglourious Basterds, I'd be fine.
Got it. Yeah.
No, I mean that's understandable. I definitely think he's, in my opinion, when it comes to directors and how movies are done today and ideas, I really don't see him being a continuing factor into making the same impacts he had with like Reservoir Dogs. And
what's he say? He says like he's got one more left. He's working on his last film. It's his last film.
He said that three films ago.
Right. And Ozzy Osbourne wasn't going to tour anymore after 1991. So, you know what I mean? Like, who knows, right?
But, right.
I remember 1994 walking into a movie theater. Pulp Fiction was I'd never heard of him before. My friend and I went, and I was so blown away by that movie in the theater.
Mm.
I didn't know that movies could be like that.
Mm.
Like, it was one of those moments where you walk out of the theater and you just think to yourself, how did that happen? You know what I mean? Like, right. How did somebody do something so different from anything I've ever experienced in my life?
Right.
Mm. I was just blown away by it. And then when I saw Reservoir Dogs on video after that, that became my favorite.
Okay.
Quentin Tarantino.
You know, there's a hidden message in every single one. Everything that happens in the scenes and Pulp Fiction, there's actually a deeper story. So I forget the main character guy named the mob boss guy.
Marcellus
Wallace. Marcellus Wallace.
Does Marcellus Wallace look like? The Ezekiel speech. Oh my lord, so great. But sorry.
Yeah. He sold his soul to the devil, and that's why he wanted the suitcase so bad. Was because in the suitcase, when they open it, it's shining, it's his soul. And there's a scene where he's sitting in a bar, he's got a Band-Aid on his neck.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's the signing point where the devil leaves a mark on you. Because if you hear the song that's playing in the bar in the background,
is it Sympathy for the Devil?
It is Sympathy for the Devil.
Oh.
And it's all plays together. And what they're really trying to strive for and why it was so important. And the reason why Bruce Willis was so important was because, ironically, Christopher Walken's in that one.
That's
too.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you have a watch, you know, that kind of thing. You know, like you know, that whole scene transitions into why I think I liked the movie, because I didn't understand it at first. I was like, oh, just people shooting each other, saying really loud things, speaking really loud, accidentally blowing a guy's head off in the back of a car to, you know, just all this crazy stuff, to actually there's a bigger meaning to all the names, to why they're happening, what's the actual goal and everything.
I would love to learn more about that, yeah.
This actually, you know what? The Ezekiel speech makes so much more sense now. Yeah, how that all sort of tied together. Okay, I'll have to rewatch it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I got to say one thing. I hadn't watched Pulp Fiction in probably 20 years.
Mm.
And recently I had a long flight, and so I downloaded it on Netflix.
Wow.
And I was watching it. I had these, you know, noise-canceling headphones on, so I was really into the movie.
Right.
And the part where he shoots the kid in the back of the car.
Mm.
It, I mean, I knew it was coming. I'd seen the movie, you know, a dozen times.
Mm-hmm.
Made me jump out of my seat. And the woman sitting next to me was like,
"You shot Mason.
What the hell are you doing?" And I was like, "God, it's Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction." On the plane, Delta Airlines.
Did they understand?
No. Not at all. That's it.
Ah,
that just... Another 5x5 in the books. Austin Kirby. AVK.
Yeah. Thanks
for joining us.
No, thank you so much for having me here. I really had a blast. It was awesome.
Yeah. Those were great topics for you.
They were. Surprisingly.
Completely random.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thanks for my... Yeah. Now I'll see quarters every time different now because I feel like I'm worth there the same value of a quarter. So we'll hopefully see how the things go. But thank you so much for having me.
You
really
bet.
I appreciate it.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is recorded at the studios of The Candy Factory,
a co-working campus in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
The show is produced and hosted by Jason Mundock,
along with co-host Robert Diggs, regularly joining the Yakety Yakking.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast
are solely those of the expressor.
The Candy Factory is not in any way responsible if anyone said something stupid.
Our theme music was composed
and recorded by a really cool guy.
Really cool guy.
A really cool guy.
Really cool guy named John Chin.
Relevant links and show notes
can be found on the show post
at the Candy Factory website.
CoworkingInLancaster.com.
Maybe that's it.
Is that it? Okay.